things I'm going to say about pastor is this. I remember a few years ago, right, when I first got exposed to pastor, you know, and I got exposed to pastor's teaching in a very random way. I'd gone to fill up my repository of messages, and someone just put in that mess, put in those messages, investigating the word of God. That's 2014 thereabout, right? And one day, I didn't want to listen to it, honestly, that's the truth, because I was trying to, you know how, you know where we are right now, we're trying to be careful of what we listen to. And where we were to then, we were still trying to be careful what we were listening to, right? So one day I was watching my room, right? And the track just finished preaching, and I just started hearing a voice I'd never heard before, right? And he just started preaching, and pastor got to Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5. I was trying to explain Ananias and Sapphira, and I'm like, who on earth has this audacity to talk this way? My hands were still full of soap. In fact, if not because I was watching, I might have changed the track. You know, but as God we have it, so I heard pastor talk about all those kind of things. And one of the things I wanted to do for myself was I wanted to be a balanced preacher. You know what I call balance? You know, so I said, pastor has the word. You know, but I think I need to do this, and listen to that. I tried it for about a year there, but until I found out I was deceiving myself. One of the things we have with pastors is what you call balanced diet. Altogether. Yeah. My mom always says it, right? It's balanced diet. Right? When it comes to the word, it's there. When it comes to the move of the Holy Ghost, it's there. What again are we looking for? Nothing, that's the truth. Are we together? And we're not saying, we said this behind him, that's true. Yeah, we're not saying it because he's here. You get the point, right? And why am I saying this? You know, as human beings, it's always advised that, you know, from nutritionists that, you know, you eat balanced diet, protein today, carbohydrate today, and everything. But you know, one of the things I'm sure, and rest assured in this session, this meeting rather, is that we are fully equipped to be balanced. Yeah, it means that everything. Paul will say, I long to see you that I may impart unto you. Right? And in the meetings we've had, we've been having impartation. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
In this one, we have much more. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And this further sessions, much more.
Yes, sir.
Right? So it's a privilege for us to have pastor, you know, here again. I remember, you know, like I would always say that, you know, pastor has just been someone who believes in me strong. And I want to say again one more time, thank you so much, sir. Right? It warms my heart. Yeah? The reason why I do a lot of things I do today is because of the man called pastor that we have here. Right? And, you know, he might not, you know, understand how fully we love him, but we do love him. Is that correct? Yeah. He has put our path on a road that we are rest assured that decades of our lives we count in ministry. Right? That decades of our life we count in ministry. Right? The amount of things that pastor has done in a compressed time. Right? I remember, like you said in the first session, right? There was a meeting that initiated some of these things. Is that correct? Right? And that's why we are in such a meeting. Are we together? So imagine the so many meetings pastor has been in, and he's been impacted in those meetings, and now we are now beneficiaries of that, right? So it means that you don't get distracted. Is that correct? You stay focused. Your heart stays focused. Your heart stays focused. Your heart stays focused. Say, my heart stays focused. My heart stays focused. You see, what we have here is what we know we need. Are we together? And we trust that God is here. God's man is here. God's prophet is here. Our prophet is here, right? So in the next session again, like in the other sessions, we're going to listen attentively. Is that correct? And we're going to listen to pastor's words as though we're listening to God himself. Right? Is that correct? Yeah, because God is going to be speaking through his lips, right? So we're going to ensure that there is no distraction. We're going to ensure that all the things we missed out, all the things that, you know, that are still left for this session, we'll get it, right? You see, I don't want pastor to finish this session. I want to carry some things from this session to the overflow or to the evening session. Is that correct? This session should be complete with this session. Is that correct? Next session we go again. That's why there are different times. Is that correct? Next session we go again. That's why there are different times. So with loud ovation, I welcome pastor one more time.
Hallelujah. Oh, let's just lift our hands and Jesus is glorified. Oh, lift your hands. Bless his name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. Precious Jesus, I thank you for your blood. Precious Jesus,
Jesus,
thank you for your blood. precious, precious Jesus.
For your body.
I thank you for your body.
I remember what you've done for me. Perfect sacrifice of victory. I remember what you've done for me. Oh, my God, I worship you. I worship you.
Let's sing it. I remember all you've done. Sing that.
I remember all you've done for me. You've come to sacrifice and victory. I remember all you've done for me, oh my Lord. I worship you today. I worship you today.
Why do that? Just bless his name. Oh, he's done so much. So just natural things. No, it's not. For your relationship, it's for the work of God in the earth. And so you learn to put the supernatural above the natural. And even when the issue is natural, you'll just stay in the spirit. So you won't allow anything of the flesh to come in between you. Your union is for His glory. Your marriage is for His glory. And so you must embrace that fully. And your idea, and this is not just for those who are married, all of us, your idea of relationship should transcend something earthly and ephemeral and just passing away. And you must ensure that in your friendships you walk in the spirit. For there are relationships in this room that just requires more attention that has been given. Attention in prayer. Attention in being led by the Spirit of God. And not by the flesh. For He will use these relationships as a resource for others. And as a tool to bless more. For in the days we're in, He is walking through families and relationships stronger than ever before. So ensure that you don't allow the bonds to break or shake. Rather, strengthen it the more. Even where there appears to be disagreements here and there, there's something higher than those issues. It's the blood of Jesus and the walk of the Spirit. So exalt it all the time and ensure that in this conference, you strengthen your relationships. Even those who are not here, but you know God planted them in your life and vice versa. Ensure that you strengthen them in prayer. So in the coming days, where you ought to cover 50 meters, you cover 200. Because you've strengthened those relationships well. And that those struggling because they've disregarded relationships. But this should be the end of that struggle. As you embrace the relationships God has given you. Relationships don't have to work on your own terms. But as long as they're working in the plan and purpose of God, embrace them all together. And you will see the things that He had proposed through you happen faster than you think. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the churches too. We strengthen all our relationships.
Amen.
We disregard strife. And we walk away from dishonor.
we move away from bitterness and anger and reacting in an exaggerated manner over issues. And we stay in the love of God. We embrace forgiveness and repent from unforgiveness. And we'll have more of the oil of God's Spirit flow ceaselessly, even in the churches. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we honor you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, we honor you. Let's just talk in other tongues a bit. Just bless his name. Lord, we thank you. Oh, we give you praise. Oh, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. Amen. Just before I step down, just things about relationship here. And those who have to reconcile with their siblings and family. Talking about your family, your parents. Do it today. Siblings, parents, do it today. God's walking through families. He's always done that. The covenant we have with Jesus is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the family. And so you reconcile today. Don't pray about it. I prayed for you. Do it immediately. Pick your phone and, you know, many times we hardly know what we miss. And it's not good to learn in eternity what you missed when you could have controlled the narratives. So just sort things out, you know. And reconciliation doesn't mean, well, they finally got to know that I was correct. God didn't wait for that to happen when he reconciled with us. So sort that out, family. I'm talking about families that are not even believers. They don't even believe in what you are doing. Doesn't matter. Reconcile. Be on the side of the one who has stretched out the hand of peace. And do it today. Don't do it tomorrow. Don't pray about it. Don't say I'll be led. No. I just told you what the leading is. Pick your phone and just speak. Oh, what if they cut me off? Doesn't matter. You've done something that the Spirit of God will work with. So do that today. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for healed relationships, restored relationships. It's done in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glad to be in the meeting.
Yes,
alright, go around, just welcome folks, smile, make sure you smile. If someone is not smiling, don't forget to lay hands and say, Satan, leave him alone.
The Lord. Bible says a wicked man that hardened his face. So when somebody's frowning, just saying, Jesus' name, you evil spirit, leave him alone. Praise the Lord. Acts 3:19. Oh, keep teaching and just flow with the Spirit of God. Amen. I want to again appreciate Pastor Joshua for this great opportunity, great man, great friend. And I thank you for this opportunity again. And I want to tell everyone, you have the best pastor in the world here. Amen. So can you just put your hands together, appreciate him. And appreciate mommy for us too. Come on, appreciate mommy for us. Our presence is like the indwelling of the Spirit. I like to see, I mean, I've been enjoying her just sitting down. Praise the Lord. Having an elder in the faith sit down is a privilege for me too. Praise God. Acts of the Apostles chapter 3. And you know, it's some things just need to be well explained. You know, because if they are not well explained, they will look like a fad. I just told you, I doubted speaking in tongues for a while. Not because I didn't know I had the experience, but I didn't have the explanation. So I went for this camp meeting, and then they asked people who wanted to receive the baptism with the Holy Ghost to come out. Now, I love Deeper Life Bible Church. I do. In fact, I embraced my attitude to teaching was from listening to Brother Kumuyi of those days. So it's not like I'm speaking down on them. But on this issue, they were wrong. You know, and they felt you need sanctification, this and this and this. So I kind of felt, no, that was not what happened to me. But I couldn't put it into... I couldn't properly coordinate what it was, you know, until I read that tract by Reinhard Bonnke. Somebody just dropped it, Tosin Otoluren. He just dropped it. And I read it. And I said, he called baptism of fire that it's when you believe, that it's an evidence, you know, of the Spirit of God. You know, he didn't say so much. And I said, this is exactly what it is. You know, in meetings like this, and that's why it's a special meeting, some experiences you couldn't explain will just come to light. It will come to light. You know that there was little Paul could say about what happened in Acts 9 to him.
until years later. Until years later. So, and that's why we have the church. Now, if everything always works well at the first time, why did Paul write that long letter to the Corinth, the Corinthian church, about things they were already seeing? He was not putting them in the proper order. But the experiences came first. And then the explanation followed after. I know Pastor Joshua, myself, like that, we like to always explain everything. But there are times God will sidestep all that. He doesn't have that kind of time. You know, and then the experiences will come first. Then you now, you know, start to do the explanation much after. So, I said that for a purpose. Don't criticize something because you don't understand it. Now, there are some things outright error. And there is what it is. You see it from the word of God, you debunk it. Simple. But there are some things you don't talk down on them because you don't understand them. Now, don't criticize something because you don't understand. You can only criticize something you understand. Hope you get my point. Don't say, well, I don't know what this is, it can't be God. In fact, someone was telling me that as there was a manifestation of the Spirit going on, that he checked his heart and his heart didn't give him a green light. I said, is that heart born again? And what was he talking about? Laughing. I said, you were checking your heart when people were laughing in church to see whether it's of God. He said, I checked my spirit and my spirit did not agree. Ah, I said, your spirit is in strife. That's why it's not agreeing. You know, if you look at the word of God, it's there. So I took time to show him. I said, look at Psalm 126. He says, he filled their mouth with laughter. He said, it's figurative. So I now said, no problem. I said, before you use a figure of speech, it means you are endorsing the practice. He said, yes. So if laughter was evil, he wouldn't have said, he filled their mouth with what is evil. He said, that's true. So for it to be figurative, I took him on the figurative lane. Assuming it's figurative, that means that the act of laughter is useful enough for God to use. He said, yes. That means the act of laughter and the act of it is not evil. He said, yes. You know, sometimes you have to get to people's level. So I said, what about Psalm 2? He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Then he said, well, that has to do with God's enemies. That is not like God laughs literally. So if he doesn't laugh literally, how does he laugh? He said, it's about his actions. They mock and deride what the enemy does. I said, good. So that means that God wants you to mock and deride what the enemy does. I said, you do it now. Let's see. So he now said, I said, you see, you're laughing. Do you understand? So, you know, I've dealt with people like that over the years. And they can just be honestly sarcastic. So, you see, don't let those who have gone to the extreme, you know, keep you away from the move of God. No, don't. Don't. I remember years ago, you know, I started ministry as a missionary. I was with the African Invasion Mission. So Brother Frank Akelakwe, my boss then, he brought one guy who preached in Asia. And the guy was, he said something that I found very odd. He said that the name of his ministry then was Bread of Life. So he spoke in this community where, you know, bread was something that, it was a food that they didn't like. Almost like it, you can't even, I think the gods of the land or something like that. I've forgotten the total narrative. So as he kept preaching Jesus, the bread of life, they never accepted him because he was looking at scripture, I'm the bread of life. Ah. So he kept praying and praying and praying. And the Lord spoke to him and said, change your title and the name of your ministry to Rice of Life. Now if you hear that, you know you will bind the devil immediately. I would have bound the devil. You know. So when he was saying it, this was 1994 or so. So when he now said Rice of Life. As soon as he changed it from, now, I like the rice part, personally, because I'm a rice person. My mom used to say that they could practically just harvest rice on my head. You know, I could eat rice morning, afternoon, evening, you know, and all that. So, as he said that, you know, people responded to what he was saying. And then they came in their hundreds to be saved. So, now, he didn't know the backstory that bread was an abomination that he didn't know. It was God who knew. And they didn't tell him. The guy who was interpreting did not tell him either. But when he saw the harvest, he now asked them, what was it about bread that you guys, and then he said, so and so. But he didn't want to correct him since he was a pastor. Now, that day, when he said that story, I knew the man was an honest man. But theologically, my head was battling. He twisted scripture. Rice. Jollof of fried. Or is he your father? You know, the way I like rice, any nation I go to, rice is always available. I don't test my stomach on any meal. No, I don't. My children call me Bushman. It's okay. I said, give me what I know. I was one where, you know, I went for one business meeting in Guinea-Conakry. So my boss, Dr. Balewa, he told me, he said, do you know what you just ate? I said, I don't know. He said, you ate show boy. I said, what show boy? He said, monkey. Ah! You know, so for that, I'll be asking you, what meat is this? So when he said that, you know, my head was like, bread of life, rice of life. How? You know, that's the working, those are the workings of the Holy Ghost. So, it was years later, in now proper study, that I found out that the bread just means food. In scripture. That if you change bread of life to rice of life, you've not altered the word of God. Even in your Bible. But you know, it took years. I had argued in my head. How did God just sidestep the Bible to get people born again? Even if they don't like bread, that's different from the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. You know? So those are the workings of the Spirit. There are times like that in reaching people. If you will just be more flexible and open to the movings of the Holy Ghost, just more flexible, you know, more flexible to the movings of the Holy Ghost, you know, He will get the job done faster. Just to the movings of the Holy Ghost. 1978, it was Yemi Odunaya's birthday. You know, she used to be the principal of School of Campus Ministry, University of Ibadan. So I was it was her birthday. That must be July 27th. And I was the MC of that birthday. Reverend Tokes Adejumo was one who preached. So as he preached, it was inside Zeke Cafe in UI. So we had the birthday, and there were quite some demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. I remember Tokpe Udumadi, she's now Tokpe, what's her son name now? She got stuck for a while, just on one spot. Reverend Tokes was one who ministered. And what a move of the Spirit. Now, see where I'm going. People now gather, if you know Zeke very well, is this Zeke they call Balubari Kingdom? You are. It's Baluba Kingdom. Music, indie. You know their cousins. You know what I'm saying. Let's let them guys ignorant be ignorant. So people now gathered. I'm saying many people, they were wondering. They obviously saw something. They now gathered around the place. What's happening? So we just stepped outside. I was like, what are you looking at? Everybody felt boa. People now started running. So people now got stuck. That's how they got saved. That's how they got born again. July 27, 1998. That's how they got born again. You know, it didn't take us to say, ahem, and I want to talk to you about the love of Jesus. You know, Jesus loves you. You know that for you. You know, Jesus. No. No. We should be flexible. Now, flexible doesn't mean to sidestep the scriptures. But these things we're saying are right there in scripture. Look at Peter. As he yet speak. You know, his sermon never ended. Who has found the remaining part of that sermon? I don't know how he ended that. He didn't end that sermon. Which means there are some times that the Spirit of God will interrupt your message. It will step into what you were planning to do. And that's just the way it is. So, learn to be that flexible. Flexible to see the movings of the Spirit of God. Flexible. Just to be flexible. There are times that's just what you need. I was called to speak somewhere. in a meeting. And, you know, the Lord told me, don't leave the pulpit. Eh? Don't stay on the pulpit. Don't leave at all. I heard it loud and clear. Stay on the pulpit. Don't leave. That's like a punishment. I learned to move around from Fred Price. I mean, I move around a lot. He said, stay on the pulpit. So I was not looking like somebody giving an inaugural lecture. You know, like I was giving a lecture. I was not saying the Bible says, I want to move our stuff. So when I was done, and I ministered, people got blessed, people got healed, and then the pastor said, thank God. This man, like I told you last week, is not like those ministers who always move around. You know, that's just yielding to the Spirit of God. I'll have preached there and the people become difficult. Then I'll say, they are not catching the word. Zero congregation. But you are actually the zero person. Because you didn't know how to flow with the Spirit of God. Learn to flow with the Spirit of God. Learn to flow with the Spirit of God. You know, there are conversations you will just start. You will just initiate. And the Holy Ghost will say, start talking about that. Just talk about the fact that no Christian should be a red devil. Just say that. No, because the Bible says that have no fellowship with devils. And then you cast out devils. But that's the Bible now. And you're a believer and say, I'm a red devil. No, no, no. Red and devil in the same place. We have to pray for such men. So, sometimes just what he wants you to do in learning to flow with the Holy Ghost. You need to know how to do that. So, be flexible. Sometimes you just step into what you were planning to do. Do it like this. And I don't know why I'm going to share this again. This wasn't part of what I wanted to talk about. You know, 2001, we had this conference at Aduikit in Nigeria. We called it the Soul Winners Conference, you know, under their joint campus fellowship. So I went there to speak. So I, alongside that meeting, we now had the, I think called the faith seminar with another ministry. So just as I was preparing for the night session, the Lord showed me a vision. And I saw this guy, actually a preacher. He came into the meeting. And as he came into the meeting, the Lord told me what to tell him, that this is something he needs to hear. But as he came into the meeting, he came into me, of course, late, MOG. You know, he came in, you know, MOG will come in late. You have to show that you are the one that will fill the house. You don't understand my joke, don't worry. So, as he came in, he now stayed to, it was the right side. So, I saw him. As I was preaching in the vision, he kept saying, yes, tell them, word. Apparently, he's a word man. You know, and he kept saying, glory. Glory! And the Lord said, watch what he's about to do next. Now, I was meant to say something to him and minister to him. As I was done preaching, he just got up and left. And he left. This is 24 years. I have not repeated what I was supposed to tell him. Now, I even told the old pastor, I said, the Lord showed me something. I said, well, let's see how it goes. So I got to the meeting. Just like it happened. He came in and remember what he wore. Just I said, yeah, come on. Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. I felt like, if you leave. And he just got up and left. It's not unlikely that what I was supposed to tell him is yet to hear it. I don't know. You know, we should learn to be flexible in yielding to God. In yielding to God. And particularly we word people. I know everybody here is a word person. The written word. The written word. How many of you have seen Scotland in a written word before? Now, raise your hand now. It's not there. So, if you are going to be led by the written word alone, you won't be here. The written word tells us about the leadings of the Spirit that now get specific about our lives. Are you there? So, the written word, yes, is how we judge leadings and all that. But there are specific things that the Spirit of God will bring our way. You must learn that. No, we must. We must be flexible to yield to the movings, the leadings of the Spirit of God. The movings, excuse me, and the leadings of the Spirit. Be flexible in the work of the ministry. Be flexible. Don't be rigid. Don't be. There are some healings that will happen just because you laughed. But that's all. Just because you laughed. Just rejoice. And you are healed. There are some healings that will happen because you laid hands on the sick. You now get healed. I had a healing school how many weeks ago. And I had terrible migraine. And I laid hands on hundreds of people. And after the meeting, the migraine left. Do you understand? So, learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. Like I said, you know, we word people, we say, no, it's a written word. You want to... There are specific things. In 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul told Timothy that prophecies had gone before about him. He didn't say about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He said about you. So there are things that you remember like scripture. There are some things that when I'm facing the hardest of circumstances, I remember them. And I'm not talking about 1 Corinthians, anything. Just words spoken over my life. I just hold them. I just hold them. I just remember them. That's all. He says, so that you will with them wage a good warfare. Do you know that there are sometimes I'm praying, and I'm not quoting something or Matthew something. I'm just quoting that prophecy. I'm just quoting that prophecy. I'm just quoting that prophecy. Because Paul says, it is with them you wage a good warfare. So be that way with the moving of the Spirit. With the moving of the Spirit. With the leadings of the Spirit. Be that way. Now, I know some people will go overboard. And then they'll put aside scripture. And then they'll be saying, God said this, God said that, God said... No, that's not what we're talking about. We don't even have that kind of problem here. You know, I tell people, don't create a problem that does not exist. You know, one time, you know, somebody in church was showing me something. I said, so and so. I said, what's this about? He said, it's about some churches. I said, does your church do it? No. So why is it your problem? It's not your problem. Recently, when people talk about, should ministers, be music ministers, collect money? Should not collect? I said, I don't have that problem. So I have no comment. Those who have the problem, let them solve it. Do you understand? There's no problem like that. Do you understand? Don't we have more to deal with in our own church? If you pay attention to your church, you discover you have more challenges than the church you are criticizing. I've seen that over the years. You have more brethren are brethren. Do you understand? We are all brethren in one accord. So face your own, you know, and deal with it. One of my friends, he sent me a video. So when he sent me that video, I said, what are you doing with this one? He said, the man is trying to analyze something happening in churches. I said, emoji. Face your church. Forget all this one. They are side attraction. Do you know 24 hours after? He now said to me, something somebody in this church did. He almost had that attack. I said, but I told you yesterday. He said, He said, under my nose. I said, you are busy looking at somebody else's soul. I'm looking at your own. He said, you have still not solved the problem. I said, I told you. Face your own. Jesus will ask you. You know, imagine someone, you are all sitting for an exam. And you say, why didn't you write 4? Should I write 4? You are worried to your own. You say, write 6 now. No, you should not have done it like that. And he gave you 2 hours. So 1.5 hours, you're saying, no, put this there. This should be number 5. This should be. So it's 10 minutes to 2 hours. You know you're an idiot if you do that. Face your work. Do you understand? is your walk. There's only one head of the body. His name is Jesus, and that's not you. And there's no district supervisor of the body of Christ. Face your own work. Face your own task. And as a Christian, face your own Christian life too. Hallelujah. So let's be that flexible in the moving of the Spirit. It's not part of my teaching, though, but I believe it's blessing you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Be that flexible, you know, to how the Spirit of God will move, particularly when you are, and I'm saying this for some of us who are seemingly having a difficulty in the work of the ministry in certain areas. Just be flexible. Just be flexible. And you see how the Holy Ghost will navigate those difficult terrains for you. Just be flexible. That's why I started with that story of rice of life, bread of life. He just didn't register right. He's changing the Bible. Oh. But he didn't. So, be flexible. Be flexible. Be open to the movings of the Spirit. And you as a leader too. And if you are going to lead, you must be like that. Because if you allow someone to say, it's my personality. You know, I asked someone, I said, why is it that when people are rejoicing, you don't rejoice? He says, my personality. I said, that's a demonic personality. Because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Say, change that. What kind of personality is that? And he said, you know, I'm an introvert. Stop that nonsense. You know, many people do not know that naturally I'm an introvert. It's strange, right? Yeah, people don't know. I am. You know, you don't believe. I don't think you believe. I am. But that cannot overwhelm my true Christian character. Praise God. I said, you can't say you're an introvert, then you're in church. You're saying, you're being carnal. You know, Jesus, your Lord, he jumped up. He ran. He's your Lord. And he said, I want to be like Jesus. Stop lying. If you want to be like Jesus, you will jump. You will run. Praise God. Let's sit a few minutes, you know. That should be what will overwhelm your personality. There's a Christ personality that overwhelms that. Don't use that to say, my wife knows me, you know, I don't take nonsense. My husband knows me. We know you in Christ Jesus. Amen. We know you in Christ Jesus. We know you in Christ Jesus. Amen. In Christ Jesus. And that's the joy of God is our character. Is our character. Is our character. And we give it that expression. So be flexible. Be flexible. Be flexible to the movings and leadings of God's Spirit. Be flexible. Is that clear? That's actually how to do the word. That's how to do the word. That's how to do the word. And we'll learn to embrace all that God is doing. See something that mommy has done for us here. I tell people that we need to learn a lot in our own generation. My mom, this year will be 30 years that she ever called me my first name. She consciously doesn't. 30 years this year. But she used to be my opponent. Because her dad was her grandfather was a bishop, her dad was a reverend. They were church people. So she was looking at this boy that I taught Bible CRS. What's CRK? What's he saying? You know? But something happened, I don't have to share it. So she now just changed. And she's just been like that. And that's something we need to learn. Do you know your children can be led by God to bless you?
Yes, sir.
Your sibling.
Yes, sir.
Someone was telling me this, one of our leaders said that, you know, when the mom came to his meeting, and the mom just couldn't shake it off and called the siblings and said, is this your brother that you are all looking down on? Ah. And what you are looking for in is right here. Do you understand? There are those who will be on YouTube 24/7. You know. And they are looking for something that is in their church. But they have just refused to listen. The person on YouTube is not praying for you. Don't let me disappoint you. I'm an invited minister. Don't be sure I'm praying for you. I have enough prayer points already. Wallahi, I'm telling you. No, I'm not joking, no. I don't have you on my prayer list. I pray for Pastor Joshua, and that's sufficient. But to now be saying God's palace, no, I won't pray for you like that. I'm telling you the truth. But the man who prays for you is your pastor. He's the one God will give what you need to. Don't forget that. The man who prays for you is your pastor. And he's the one led by the Spirit of God to give you what you will need at such crucial times. So, let the leading of the Spirit of God, let it also be that way for you. The relationships he has given you. Amen. So I invited minister. Someone told me, said, as I saw you preaching, I knew you are the man I will follow. I'm following you. I said, you don't know the person who just spoke. There I'm an invited minister. Come to where I pastor. You won't stay. You will run away. This way, this place you are, stay there. You know, people are like that. So, let's get back to what I was saying. Be flexible. Open to the moving and the leadings of God's Spirit. Amen. Amen. Acts 3. I just spoke that, you know, by the Holy Ghost. Hope that blessed you. Yes, by the movings and leadings of the Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. In Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul, talking to the elders in Ephesus, said, take it to yourselves and to the flock, for which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. See what he said? The Holy Ghost made you overseers. And I'll pause and say, how? How did the Holy Ghost make them overseers? Were you not the one who chose them? The 12 of them in Acts 19. And then you, verse 7 says they were 12 men. How? So you can see how the workings of the Spirit can be. It's Paul who chose them. Oh, he said the Holy Ghost made you overseers, which is important. I learned something from Reverend Chris Oyakhilome. He said it years ago. And I paused. When he said it, it was just one of those statements he made. He said, we should learn to see the church as an orchestration of the Spirit of God. That easily we get lost in the fact that we have human interactions. And we forget that it's actually the work of the Spirit. I paused. What a powerful statement. That, you know, it's very easy for us to lose sight of that. I think, well, I just met Shegun. Shegun just met John. John just met Peter. We're just all here. No, it's the work of the Spirit of God. And we must embrace it that way. And that's why I tell people to be strong on the culture of honor. What's honor? Honor simply means to put value on what God has put value on. That's what it is. It's not worship. It's not. It's just put value on what God has placed value on. That's what it is. To place value on what God has placed value on. That's what it is. For your husband and your wife, place value on what God has placed value on. And your children, your siblings, place value on what God has placed value on. I remember before, in the 80s, I wasn't even born again. You know, one of those experiences, very strange, that happened to me, even in spite of my rebellion, just before I got saved, actually. And we're in our hometown, and we're watching Idahosa and you. I wasn't interested in watching it. I felt that anybody who wore Agbada was not even of God. So what was the point, you know? So as he was speaking, my late brother, he was bedridden for quite a while. So he now said, as I just about that moment, he said, there's so and so person, you are with your brother, you are near Ijebuode. Ah, that was too direct. And he said, put your hands on him. And I laid hands on him. And my brother got up. So what the Agbada did not matter. And he got up. From that point, even till now, I have one soft spot for the man. That I always give excuses for him. Because that day stood out. And I laid hands and he got up. You see how God reached me. That's the point. We should learn to flow with the Spirit of God more. We'll get many things done. many things, and they will be done. Praise God. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Let me just do a quick study. Now the word presence of the Lord naturally should not have, you know, if we are to use today's language, it's prospon majorly in the Greek. It means appearance. And it was talking about Jesus. So when it says appearance of the Lord, and usually this particular word, there are another word called parousia, they have been misunderstood and mistranslated. So to mean something like, just like the word coming of the Lord has been interpreted as the return. And it's not return. Because the coming of the Lord just means the presence. The presence of someone. That's what it really means. Now, why the word presence of the Lord here? Don't forget that Peter was referring to the resurrection of Jesus. Right? And that's what it was. That's the emphasis he had. That when Jesus rose from the dead, and earlier on in chapter 2, he called it the presence of the Lord as well. So, the resurrection is also called his appearance. Now, let me explain that to us. The best way I usually can explain this is to an African culture, or through an African culture. Now, the coming of the Lord and the presence of the Lord here is like when you organize a wedding. Now, I can use my own as an example. The family of my wife, they knew me. I knew them. We're very cordial. But suddenly the day of the wedding, if you're an African, you know what I'm saying. They shut the door. And somebody stood outside and said, what are you looking for? I mean, the introduction, call it engagement. What are you looking for? Ah. I said, ah. He said, no. Of course, Africa, you pay money. Put money. Then we started doing all sorts of things. Then we got there. And then she also, they wore something, you know, all the ceremony. So that was for the first day. I thought we were done. Then the next day, the same person now shows up with white, right? And then we get to the church. And then you remove the veil again. Ah, somebody that we saw yesterday. That's even back then. Now, things have stepped up. You know, so but what I'm about to say is that the same person that maybe wore a native attire on Thursday, by the Friday, because of the occasion, right, will wear something else, right? Maybe there's now a reception, will wear something else. It's the same person, but appearing in different offices, as it were. Now, Jesus' coming is not a return. Is when he appears in the office of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. When the whole earth will have been seized and owned for his glory. That's the coming of the Lord. Hope you get that. It's not like he went somewhere, then he's... No, it's the same Jesus. But when this job is done, and the whole earth has taken the character of the work of his spirit, then you will see him in all of his glory. Same way, the resurrection is called the presence of the Lord because now, remember what he was not before he rose from the dead, as it were. I use that in italics. You know, he is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. Remember that emphasis. Now, that baptism with the Holy Ghost, did he do anything close to that in the four Gospels? No. He didn't. Did he forgive sins in the four Gospels? He did. Many times, you say, your sins are forgiven. He said that quite a number of times. But he never got anybody baptized with the Holy Ghost. He didn't. Till he rose from the dead. So when John, remember we saw what John said about him. Matthew 3:11 and 12. I baptize with water. Not many, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Matthew 3:11 and 12. Mark 1:8, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Luke 3:16 and 17, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John 1:32 and 33, he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:4, wait for the promise of my Father which you heard of me. John, Acts 1:5, baptized with water. Not many days hence, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So no doubt, what we said in the morning was that if you say Jesus is the Savior from sins, you are right. If you say he is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost, you are still correct. It's not either or, no. They weigh the same way. Are you following this? So he is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost, which means in his resurrection, right, he became the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. That was why he died. That was why he rose from the dead, to baptize with the Holy Ghost. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not a denominational thing. No, it's not. It's actually why he rose from the dead, to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Are you following what I'm saying? John said that was why he came, to baptize with the Holy Ghost. So earlier in the morning, we move further from Acts 1:5 to Acts 1:8. When he said you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hope you got that one. I said that that is like a statement that has a lot of things in it. And we did a bit of unpacking it. From David, right, to Abraham, and the word uttermost parts of the earth. Showing you there is a mission. So now, if the baptism with the Holy Ghost is for a mission, and Jesus died for that purpose, it means the purpose of my salvation is that mission. Are you here? The purpose of my salvation is that mission. The forgiveness of sins is connected, interwoven with the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You don't have one without the other. No, you don't. It's interwoven with the baptism with the Holy Ghost. This is why, and it's instructive, when Peter got on forgiveness of sins, check it very well, Acts 10:43, the next thing that happened was the outpouring of the Spirit. As he was talking about, as the prophets, in him is given to us, received forgiveness of sins, then the Holy Ghost fell in 44. So, let's get in on this quickly. So Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, God will give you. He said, you shall receive. Now, the word receive means to take. It means to take. So, if you don't take, you have been given, and you won't see it. And many have not taken, just like the experience I shared in the morning, because they have been wrongly taught. They've been wrongly taught. And we said in the morning that the Holy Ghost upon is what people see. Is an experiential thing. I'll say it again. Is an experiential thing. See, there's teaching. Right? I tell people that there's teaching and there's training. Now, training includes teaching. But you can teach and not train. You know, you can teach people about prayer. And they understand. Jesus, Erotao, Ito, but you won't pray. And there'll be somebody else who doesn't know all those things, but is praying. I told you, Professor Badare's daughter, she was called Evangelist Tony back then. So I gave her a book by Fred Price, How Faith Works. She said she'll read it. So we went to someone's house. The woman's belly was like this. So she just looked and looked. She prayed a bit, went round, around, around, around. I was there. I was still looking at how to tell the woman, believe in your heart, say with your mouth, you know, that we just, you know. She just turned to the woman and said in Yoruba, in the name of Jesus, what? No! Eh? He just went, Ubo! Eh? You know, now I can explain that as the gifts of healings, workings of miracles, that the gifts of healings is when, but see, the job has been done. Do you understand? Yes, but you know something that happened that day? I knew the teaching, but that was the training. Yes, sir. I saw it. You know, training and teaching You are in class, they teach you. This is when you get, I'm a law student. When you get into the courtroom, yeah, then you will need your principal in your chambers, your law firm, to say, don't worry. That's training. That's training. It's not, you can teach and there's no training. You can teach and there's no training. There was someone I said, come, let's go and cast out demons. Eh? Say, sir, now. I say, yeah, now. Come. Follow that guy. Now. Cast it out. Now. That's training. So, the training is, so when Jesus taught them for 40 days, that's teaching. Now it's time for training. The experience is the training. So, evangelism is the outthrust and outburst of the compassion of God that reaches to the rebellious heart, breaks it down, and ensures that he embraces the love of God. Come, let's go for outreach. Evangelism is the outreach. Come. When you say evangelism, you explain it later. That is the training. The teaching can help us with the rough edges. It's a training that gives us the life experience. Life experiences. The training. It's like, you know, somebody was doing a series on marriage. Single man who was explaining. I said, now, of course, I believe singles can teach marriage. That's not what I'm saying. But there are some things above your pay grade. And that's just the truth. There are some things, when I, as a parent, I now respect my dad more. And my mom. I said, really? They knew what they were doing. Back then, I knew what they should have done. Now, I thank God for what they have done. Do you understand? So there are some things that just like pastoring. Some people will say online and they'll be saying things like, you know, a pastor is. There's one guy, he said, he was talking about pastoring. I said, okay. Are you a pastor? He said, no. And you spoke so intelligently about pastoring. I said, you need to pastor. You need to pastor. Then you would change this your theology. You know, back then, when we started a fellowship then, that was about 31 years, 32 years ago. So I never took offerings for 6 months, 9 months. I think we didn't take offerings at all. I said, I had to explain it first before people will give. I know why he's laughing. Because I now explained something later. So I felt I had to explain it. Then when I explain it, then people start giving. So for 9 months, I think it's almost a year. So one day, you know, this question, I didn't answer it until a few years ago. So I now said, was that really why we didn't take offerings? That is it because I had not thought it. So I now remembered that there was a brother Femi in the fellowship who was a secretary of the local government. We're using the local government hall and it was free. I said, that's why I felt I had to teach it first. If we were paying, I'm sure I will teach it after. What I'm saying is, I just came to the realization a few years ago. What I'm saying happened many years. I just said, was that really because I had not taught it? It was because it was free. Amen. Can you see practical things? So when it comes to the things of the Spirit, you need to see it. You shall receive power. After which the Holy Ghost is come on you. So I said, there's teaching and there's training. There's teaching and there's training. My son said, rejoicing, we rejoice. You know, you need to see it. You see it. So there's training, the activity itself. So what did he say about it? You shall receive. Did he explain it to them? Yes. But it is better felt than felt. You didn't get my grammar. It's better felt than telt. You boy. It's better felt than telt. That is, it's better you feel it than they are just telling you. So on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, the day don't come. They were all in one place, in one accord. Then suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. That is not teaching. That is the training. Now, how do you take it? There came a sound. Number one, did you even hear it? So he taught them so that they can hear it. Because if that sound was everywhere, how come those around them did not hear it? Because people came around and mocked them. Who's following what I'm saying here? They heard a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where it was seated. Now, when the scripture uses fill, from the, now the background of the word fill is Genesis 1:28, replenish the earth. Numbers 14:21, I'll fill the earth with my glory. Can go on and on. Exodus 1:7. Now, it's a gradual thing. Let me tell you what that means. That means somebody started it. It could start from here, then move here. So you must learn how to get into the things of the Spirit. Just by opening your eyes, you saw somebody just in the meeting fell down praying. That's the move of God. Pray. That's how it works. So the house was filled, means it started somewhere. Somebody started it. Hallelujah. Somebody will start talking to God. This one will pick it. That one will pick it. That one will pick it. Then it's a flow like that. It filled all the house. All the house. So part of the training is knowing how to take. When you see things in the atmosphere, know how to take it. You know, if something is on him, it gets on you. That's how it happens. If it's the moment it gets to him, it can get to you. That's how the work of the Holy Ghost is. Filled all the house. Means it can start here. Then it goes there. Fill. Fill. All the house. It's on him. It gets on you. It comes on you. It goes on you. And sisters, do you know it's possible for all of us to have visions? All of us. He said he filled the house everywhere. Everywhere. But it started from somewhere. Then it will go. It will flow. Fill the whole 120. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah! 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 You're getting sharper. Sharper! Yeah, you're getting sharper. In the things of the Spirit. And when you go out to minister, you will discern signs faster than ever before. And that's for many of us. Hey, you discern signs faster. So it fills the house. Fills the house. Yeah. Fills the house. Church. This is church. It's church. It's church. It's church. It's church. Yeah. Seeing and knowing. Seeing and knowing. Yeah. It's church. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. It's better felt than felt. There are some things that are taught, some are caught. Some to be caught. Yeah. Yeah. It filled the house. It filled the house. He began from somewhere. Then he moved to another place. Then another place. Till the whole house was full. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, which means everybody saw something. It's possible to be in a meeting and we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Ha ha ha. Ha. Your spiritual faculties have been enlivened, awakened to new realities. I said in the morning, Some of us are due for new experiences. No, you are due for it. You know how you change oil in a car. Some of us are due for new experiences. Stop talking about yesterday, 10 years ago, 6 years ago. What about now? You're due for new experiences. You used to pray and then you plan for 2 hours before you knew it, 12 hours. And you are taken over by burdens. It's never in your past. It's in your presence. It's in your presence. You used to know things supernaturally about people. You just say something to come to pass. It's not in your past. No, it's not in your past. No, it's not in your past. No, it's not in your past. That which you desired for before this meeting is happening now. It's happening now. It's happening now. Now it's happening. 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 It's happening. Don't worry, don't worry. Now it's happening. Glory. Glory. It's filling our house. It's filling this atmosphere. Yep. Yep. Setting things right. Setting things right. Setting things right. Do you know, look at Saul of Tarsus. He was going to kill Christians. Do you know, as he fell, the desire changed. So there are things that encounters can resolve without any teaching series. He was going somewhere else. Imagine he's going like this. Then he fell. Then he turned like this. Meetings and encounters can change the course of our lives. We'll get the teaching later on. But the experiences have come first. I'm persuaded in these meetings that new desires are dropping on us. I'm persuaded. It's happening. And for some of us who you become discouraged in the service of God, well, you are strengthened now. And you won't give up. No, you won't give up. And you are not going back to the world. There's nothing in the world for you. You are pressing further. You are pressing stronger. And you are seeing greater days. Greater days than your past. For your expectations are stronger than your memories. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Let's pray in other tongues a bit. Let's pray in other tongues a bit. Let's pray in other tongues a bit. 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 Pray another tongues a beat.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Pray that tongues will be. Oh, brothers of practices. Last of Gengo, Gonga, Genga, Donga, Jisho, practice. These are Gonga, Dava, those are dark. These are broken in the stupa. Letos, Bogodonga, Lebruja, passes. Oh, Gagados. Rest of fracted longer. Leg and doga batos. Babolos, Zok, Deptok, Devos. Dinga godos, Josephetes. Stepakada. Lekadados. Leranodosis. Bakodonodosis of practice. Gegos, Dograma, Lengala, this. Hands are strengthened. Strengthened. Oh yes, they are. Hallelujah. 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 We're learning to cooperate with the Holy Ghost in different areas of our lives. We yield ourselves as we cooperate more with the Holy Ghost. Cooperate simply means to be open to His move. To be open to His leadings, directions, and the stirrings that He gives. And we cooperate more with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we will. We will. We cooperate more with the Holy Ghost. I'll start by saying this. That we should place honor on the gifts of the Spirit. Place honor on the movings of the Spirit. Value them like never before. Value them strongly. And yeah, we'll see the harvest of greater things even in our midst. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you could grab a seat, do. If you don't, stay where you are. Don't bother. It's church. I tell ushers in church, see, where there are services, you don't need to stress yourself. You know, if you can grab a seat, if you can, whatever you are led to do, do. I'm fine. So, you see the way Fabo, Seka, Noga, Negro, De, Do, Nejo. You can just stand up and jump and just run. It's done. Praise God. Something was on your heart when I called you. Something was on your heart when I called you. Ah, yeah, that's it. Done. Down. Not the broken, the stupid, those shook, shepherd, those the mom, bongo ghost, kiss to catete. Lord, those are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, the stuttering speech is gone. The stuttering speech is gone. The speech is now clearer. Without hindrance, it's gone. Thank you, Jesus. Fill all the house. You know, we will learn to get a hold of these things. Brother Hagin will say that some people are so dull. Nobody here, definitely. That if the Holy Ghost were to weigh heart and cross the road, they will not recognize Him. We recognize the moving of the Spirit. It says, you shall receive. And they did. He said, there appeared to them cloven tongues as of fire. Sat upon each of them. They all saw. They saw. No wonder in Acts 9, Ananias, a membership class member. Pardon my repetition. He saw Jesus. And Jesus asked 9:10-11, said, Ananias, say, here I am, Lord. I mean, who responds like that? That means he's used to it. He said, there's a man, this is a street called Straight, the house of one Simon Tanner. There's one there, his name is Saul of Tarsus, he's praying. You know, very direct things. Then in the vision, he responded to Jesus. Lord, you have heard many things that he had done to your saints. You know, that shows you there was a mastery about it. You know, we're having mastery of these things. We're having mastery of these things. And you will know how to coordinate yourself.
You are seeing a vision, you are doing something else. Yes. And you know how to coordinate yourself. Because these things belong to you.
Yes.
No, they belong to you. I like to tell people back home in Lagos, Nigeria. You know, we have false prophets. We do. We have people who are fakes. But you know the things they are fake about, they are our things. Don't give it over to them because they are fakes. No, 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 no. They are our things. You know, some people, they would call it handkerchief. They call it mantle. Leave those ones. For we can pray over cloth. And the dead will be raised. Don't let that one discourage us. No, we can. Do you know we can pray over water and people will be healed? I pray over water. People bring water. I pray inside it. Jesus asked someone to go and have his bath and he got healed. Don't let those people abuse things like that, we know. But they belong to us. The supernatural belongs to us. So don't allow fads and fakes to make you, you know, shrink away from the power of God. No, don't. Don't. I like what Reverend Toh says. He said the best way to correct something is to do the right thing. So there are such things, movements of the spirit. You must be open to them. And thank God in a church like this, many other churches I believe are here, we teach the word of God. So we should not be afraid. If anything goes out of line, we can correct it easily. Because we teach the word. But don't let's have no fires. Ah, that's not the church of God. Fire is part of the work of God's spirit. There's a fervency that comes with it. There's an atmosphere that comes with it. When it is not there, it's not there. You will know. Did you notice Ananias, Priscilla and Aquila, when they heard Apollos, they called him. There's something you still don't get. You know, you will know. As though the writer wanted us to see something. Now, in Acts 8, when they went back to Jerusalem and told the apostles that, Samaria received the word, they said, but he had fallen on none of them. Obviously, the apostles must have asked, is that all? You mean the Holy Ghost is not fall? Let's go there. That job is not done yet. For he had fallen on none of them. That means the atmosphere was not as vibrant. They just said, thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. You mean there are no demonstrations? Nobody's running. Nobody's jumping. Nobody's rejoicing. There are no visions. No open visions. Let's go there. When they got there, they laid hands. As they were laying hands, Simon the sorcerer saw that through the laying on of the hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given. Then he offered them money and said, give me this ability that whomsoever I lay my hands on will receive the Holy Ghost. That means there was something he saw. So how did the apostles know that they had not received the Holy Ghost? Because he wasn't seeing. A church full of the Holy Ghost is not a confession. It's not a statement of vision. No, it's the atmosphere. It's the atmosphere. Atmospheres of prophecies, tongues, interpretation, visions, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirit, gifts of faith, workings of miracles, gifts of healing. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Those who are leading songs just burst out in psalms. And they give us a sound. And then the move of the Holy Ghost, you know, starts in the meetings. We leave the services stirred up, strengthened, and we want to take the world for Jesus. That is a Holy Ghost church. They saw it. So by Acts 19, when Paul went to that church, saw these guys, I said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we've not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, don't miss that. It didn't mean that they didn't hear Holy Ghost before. They were talking about that baptism with the Holy Ghost that John spoke about. We didn't know it had come to pass. That's what they were saying. Where have you been? You know, some people will be praying for revival. And I tell them, you are in the wrong place. Revival is happening, no. Change location. You change location. And so, when Paul spoke to them, he said, Acts 19:60, the Holy Ghost came on them. How did we know? They spoke with tongues and prophesied. So you will know if the Holy Ghost is in a place demonstrate. You will know. It's not a confession. It's not a statement of vision. Our vision, we believe in the move of the Holy Ghost. No. And the church should be known like that. I was going to share this. I forgot. And now I remember. There was this guy. And the church should be known like that. Larry is his name. Now there were about four of them that I was teaching the word some 1992. So two of them never spoke in tongues. Two. So one of them, I did my best. So I took him to one, it's called Youth Christian Fellowship. I even met the daughter of the man in the U.S. earlier in the year. So some other evening, he spoke in tongues. It took a while. But this particular Larry guy, I did everything possible. I would change the time of ministering to him. Sometime early in the morning, nothing will happen. Late at night, hey, say, let's go outside. Nothing. I laid hands, laid legs, nothing happened. So I told him, I said, there's somewhere in Ibadan that I know. They have the atmosphere. If I take you there and you don't speak in tongues, it means God destined it. That it is your portion in life. Not to Ibadan. You know, there's a place you can vouch for like that. This place. So I said, let's go. And we went. And we went all to Ibadan. When we got there, Victory Christian Fellowship. He sat at this side of the auditorium. I sat with him. Pastor Dako Oguni, who is now the president of Newman Falls, is also one of the teachers at Rema Bible Training Center, Nigeria. I even saw him earlier in the year. He came in, as he came in. You know, there were no phones, so I couldn't have texted him, bringing somebody. Nope. As he just saw, he just pointed at him, said, You are yet, and we're about 300. If you know UI well, Central CAF. Then he said, you. And it was from afar. He said, you. As he got, that was the first thing he said. You are yet to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you came so and so, to receive baptism of the Holy Ghost. My friend said, eh? I said, I told you. If it doesn't happen here, God did not will it in his ultimate plan for you to be part of it. But you know, the lesson there is that we should have a church like that. That we can trust. You know, it's not because they got the best sound equipment, they got the best, they are good things. Get sound equipment. But bro, sis, that's not Holy Ghost. You know, so, and that's how my friend spoke in other tongues. He knew that was God. Because I didn't tell anybody. We entered together. We didn't branch in any room. We came to the meeting together. So he knew that was the hand of God. So you can see it. You can see the movings of the Spirit. You can know such atmospheres. Such atmospheres. And get used to such atmospheres. It's lack of training not to know those atmospheres. You should know. I went for one meeting. Reverend Mark Hankins was preaching. You know? And so as he was speaking, and it was, I saw what he did first. I knew what was going on. Someone asked me, he said, how did you know to, I'm a Hagin boy now. When I see it, I know it. So, it was my action that triggered it for him. He now told me when we got to Tulsa, he said, that was the first time I broke through there. He said, you helped me. Because I saw it. You should know, and after that, you know, people got healed, a lot of things happened. There's something about recognizing it. Recognizing it. If somebody beside you prophesies, you know what that is telling you? The gift of prophecy is in the atmosphere. Don't say, excuse me, all right. You can go ahead. Are you dumb? That's the Holy Ghost. Get in the flow. All you simply say is, I prophesy here today. Someone has a trance. Say, I receive visions and revelations today. He said, you shall receive power. You will have to take the initiative after which the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And we saw, how does it happen? It feels, right? He moves from her to me, to you. That's how it moves. What is rejoicing? The way somebody rejoicing, get in the flow. When it's praying, somebody catches a prayer burden and it begins to grow. Get in the flow. When someone gives a word of knowledge, it's in the atmosphere. Just say, I take revelation gifts now and I walk in it. Hallelujah. It's in the atmosphere. 95. We went to speak at one Orthodox church like that in Obomosho. My friend, Pastor Bolu Paul, we had held a meeting for him, another Pentecost. Yeah. So Reverend Tokes also was in that meeting. Oh, so we went for this vigil. So as we went to the vigil, you know, the whole place was somehow. My friend was a vigil. So as he thought, they were just looking, they did all the teaching he was doing, was just looking. We were just looking. Ah, so we said, what do we do? Well, four of us. We said, well, we have to do Holy Ghost. We have to do Holy Ghost. So they said, you do revelation gifts. You do power gifts. You do utterance gifts. How direct the meeting? How about having friends like that? And that's how it was. You know? And as the meeting just went on, one woman, for the first time, she had never spoken in tongues before. In fact, most of the church actually, just the pastor spoke in tongues. As she spoke in tongues, she began to prophesy. And began to give words of knowledge. For the first time, the thing just spread in the meeting. In the whole meeting. In fact, when we were done, around 3 a.m. or so, the pastor came to us. He said, ah, I wish I could say it to Yoruba. The way he said it to Yoruba, he said, ha, now that they're listening to you, please don't go yet. Help us talk to them about tight. So please, they're listening to you. But that shows you something. You know, something happened. Something happened. There are atmospheres that you should crave for. Paul says desire spiritual gifts. You see, if you are not flowing with the Spirit, it's an attitude problem. That's the problem. It's not Holy Ghost. That's the problem. It's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can move on somebody beside you and you will not know that's what's happening. You will know. It's an attitude problem. He says to desire. He said, take. You shall receive power. After which the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You know what Peter now told them? When people were around them, Peter now explained what was going on. He now said, this promise is for you and to your children. And as many that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Which means what happened today on the day of Pentecost is available for many. Which means many can have cloven tongues of fire sit upon them. Many can hear the sounds. And we're hearing it already here. Already here. Already here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In Acts 10, when they went to the house of Cornelius, and they now summoned him in Acts 11, and said, Peter, come. What did you go to do in the house of Cornelius? What are you doing in the Gentile's house? He said, ah, it's not me, oh. Ah. He said, look at those things. Cornelius was praying. An angel appeared to him. Ah. Peter wanted to eat, he fell into a trance. In the same, series of events, then an angel spoke to him to eat, rise and kill and eat. He was still doubting. Then the Spirit of God spoke to him. That's the book of Acts, oh. Then, as he said, three men seek thee. They came to him. He followed them. He went to the house of Cornelius. As he was, and look at what happened to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was like a general. He led was it a platoon now? They call it in the military. Do you know as Peter came in, everybody fell down? There is a way your attitude will prompt God to do things. Peter is just an ordinary person, though. I mean, he wasn't, apart from preaching, who was he? In fact, the way the priest looked at him, he said, who is this unlettered man? What is this one doing? You are the ones. But Cornelius did not think like that. Number one, he was not even a Jew. He was a Roman military leader. Who should normally have, arrogance. He sent people to go and when they got there, the way they received Peter, they now brought him in, let's say, the convoy. As he got into his house, imagine the household, everybody bowed. Why won't the Holy Ghost fall? Why won't the Holy Ghost fall? Everybody. That means he had tutored his household on how to place value on the things of God. He had tutored the household. That, look, when the Holy Ghost is moving, get in, oh. Eh? It's what you do, oh. That's how you are going to do it. Was Peter yet speak? The Holy Ghost fell. So when they called Peter, and he was explaining, he said, look, it's not me. He said, as I was speaking, the Holy Ghost fell. He now said something. Fell on them as it was on us at the beginning. Which means that in the house of Cornelius too, the same things in Acts 2, 1 to 4 happened. So who was I to withstand God? So what happened in Acts 2, 1 to 4 will happen anywhere. Anywhere. Anyhow. Any nation. Among any people. It happened in Acts 8 in Samaria. It happened in the house of Cornelius. It happened in Ephesus to the 12 guys who became elders. What's the key? Desire. Just the right attitude to the things of the Spirit. The right attitude. The right attitude to the moving of the Holy Ghost. The right attitude. That was all to it. 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 Just the right attitude. And what happened? Acts 2. Peter now began to speak. He said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. Which means that whatever they were doing was worthy of mockery. It was worthy of mockery. What is this? What is this? So don't let people's name tag affect you. They call Jesus the Prince of Beelzebub. They said he was casting out demons by an evil spirit. So what's the big deal if they are tagging you that way to that church? Do you know, in the 90s, we had a Holy Ghost meeting. So we used to use a church venue with another minister. I won't mention the church name. So we had the Holy Ghost meeting, and it was quite heavy. So the pastor of that church came around. I just saw him that evening, just looked around the auditorium, then he left. Then the next day, that they were supposed to use the place, they now bought bottles of oil to anoint the place. Oh Lord, every evil spirit that came out of them, Oh Lord, can you imagine that thinking? There was an evil spirit. Why? Because people were laughing. What if they were crying? That would have been the Holy Ghost. No. They are movings of the Spirit. What do they do to us? Now, they enhance many spiritual faculties. Many spiritual faculties. You just discover that there will just be that fervency to the things that you are doing. Fervency to your service for the Lord. Fervency. So when Peter said the times of refreshing is more than once. Times. Opportunities for refreshings. And that's what we are having already. Hallelujah. Opportunities. Do you know that's one of the reasons why, you see, whenever we fall into sin or we go into any mistakes, the devil doesn't want you to go to church. Because he knows the opportunities available there. He doesn't want you. There was one fellow who came to see me in church just a few weeks ago. He said he wasn't planning to come. Now, what had happened was, something happened, and so he lost faith. He was a pastor. So he started doubting whether there was God, you know, this kind of thinking. When you start to joke. So he said he just came to church. Let me just come. He said let me just come. So he came. And he kept telling himself, look, I'm just coming to the church. Obviously, he was led by the Spirit of God. So when he saw me, so he now started talking, why did this happen? If there's God, why did that happen? So I was looking at him. He said, you're not saying anything. I said, there's nothing I'm saying. I said, you yourself know that you're joking now. He now started laughing. He said, see, you don't even take things like this seriously. I said, because it's not serious. You've handled the word of life. You've seen the moving of the Spirit of God. And you are disappointed. I've also been disappointed before. And I told him my own story. I said, look, I've had this disappointment. I said, rather than start giving answers to questions I cannot answer, I went after the things I understood. Better. You know, that's how he dropped all his defenses. He said, okay, I'll recommit myself to the Lord. What was the issue? He came around believers. You see, you can't live life alone. You can't exist alone. God puts you in the company of believers. Therefore, why I said that was this. There is a corporate flow of the Spirit that overwhelms our individual flow. Things always get sharper, better, when we come together. Do you know, I share this story a lot. I preached for a friend of mine, Pastor Swami, in Lagos. So this particular time, I had a very terrible backache. Was a side of my very horrible. It was 2018. So that day, and it was a healing service, the first night. So I just believed God. I said, well, the healing power of God will flow and I'll receive. You know? So I got to the service. So I called one guy, Joshua is his name. Now, trust me, that's his name. But he's now a pastor in the church. So I said, sing a song on divine healing. He thought I was talking about singing for the people. No, it was for me. So as he was singing, I kept saying, as he's ministering right now, I received the healing power from his ministry. People came out to be healed. I laid hands on them, but I was focused more on the music minister. You know, so I kept saying that as Brother Joshua, I didn't know his name actually, I said as the music minister sang and the power of God came into my body, I receive it in Jesus' name. I receive it in Jesus' name. I receive it. Now, the first thing was that I set my faith right by putting honor on his ministry. You get that? So I said in the name of Jesus, the power of God has gone into my body, effecting the healing and the cure. It was so bad then that I couldn't sleep on that side of my body. So I got to the hotel. One of my colleagues, Pastor Larry, saw me off. So he didn't know what was happening, but I just kept saying the healing power of God. So as I went to bed, it was still there. But I said, today, it had been there for weeks. So say the name of Jesus, as I was in that service, the music minister ministered, and the power of God has gone into my body, effecting the healing and the cure. So I just slept. How I knew was that I just switched sides. Slept on that part and the pain was gone. Now, don't forget, I'm the invited minister. But I was not the only minister there. I'm not the only minister here. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is for all of us here. Now, I may be like the one coordinating things, but I trust God tonight, we're all going to minister. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost is on us all. Praise God. So, if you come to this service and all you see is the pastor, that's not what Paul was saying. All of us. Hallelujah. All of us. Just like the day of Pentecost, they were all healed. Place value on these things. Place value. That's how I got healed. Through a music minister that you don't even know I had the pain. But I put value on his ministry. I put value on his ministry. People talk about the Living Word Media. It's been a blessing. It's going to be a blessing for many decades and many centuries to come. But let me tell you what happened. You know, was just a member of church who said it. The person just walked up to me and said, Pastor, why not let's do so? The person was not a pastor. But I knew I had taught people and trained them to flow with the Spirit of God. So as soon as the person said it, he said, we'll just do this. We'll just put the teachings online. And then people will be able to access it. And it can reach many people all over the world. And when the person said it, then in the body of Christ, it was prominent that people were paying to download. So it wasn't the practice. In fact, it was right in front of church. As the person spoke, I knew that was God talking. So I told the pastor, I said, we're going to do this. And he looked at me. I said, we used to do teaching of the month. I said, all our teachings will be online. I said, God wants us to do it urgently. How did I know? I listened to somebody I was pastoring. Why was I able to do that? Because I know I was not the only minister in the congregation. So don't get used to, it's only when pastor is preaching. You will miss out a lot. You will. There are numerous gifts here. Numerous manifestations here. I dare say, even with the first timer. Numerous. A man can get born again now. And the next minute is ministering to you. That's how God has made it. Numerous. Numerous folks. Numerous things are here already. But what should we do? Place value. You see, God said, he that does not honor me, I will not honor. That's what he said. Jesus went to his hometown and he said, is this not the son of Joseph? What is he saying? And scripture says he could not do any mighty work because of their unbelief. because of their own. Of course, he didn't stop there. He now sent his folks around to teach them. Then verse 12 and 13, they got people healed. But must we go through that route? We don't have to. Just place value on what God has placed value on. How many of you know God places value on those who sing? As they sing, do you know that the Holy Ghost is in demonstration? Yes, he is. As they sing, God places value on those who lead prayer. Do you know that as they pray and lead prayer, you could catch prayer burdens? Your prayer ministry can be enhanced. Don't wait until the pastor is the one preaching. God places value on those who are ushers. Yes, he does. He does. He places value on all of us. On the children's church teachers, he does. So let's place value on what God places value on. And we will see greater demonstrations of God's Spirit around us. Don't forget, we're in a social media era. Everybody wants to make... There's some people, they are social media influencers. They are experts at everything. I don't know who is like that in this world. Every subject they have, they say. Now, you get to church. There was one guy who was talking. Some people are handing over churches to their children. And he was talking. I said, bro, leave this matter. You don't understand it. He said, no. I said, it is not your area. You don't understand it. So he said, what do I mean? When I was done explaining, he was confessing his sins. I said, look, there's social media. There's God's word. And I told him something. I said, if you don't quickly repent, your children will struggle to serve God. Because that is what you have attracted to yourself. He said, is it that serious? It's more serious than that. And people can be very judgmental. Look at David. He had just killed Uriah by conspiracy, taking his wife. Nathan now came to him. Nathan was smart. He didn't say, the old king, I lent you an adulterer. You won't leave the palace alive. Always be smart. So he got there. He just gave a proverb. And he said, a man, you know, he's a wealthy man, had a lot of animals, you know, horses. And then one other guy has one kid. And he went and killed him. David said, the man must be, he must die. He must restore sevenfold. Animal. Then Nathan said, you are the man. Do you know that David actually lost 7 children? 7. He got exactly what he said. Be careful how you judge. He got exactly what he said. Be careful how you judge. Amen. Hope that's clear.
Yes, sir.
Be careful how you judge. Jesus said, judge not, so that you not be judged. The same measure of judgment will be meted back to you. It was Jesus who said it. He's the one that came to die for sins, and the one that said it. So don't say, well, that's it. It's Jesus who said it. So don't judge that way. Don't be that way. Don't criticize the things of God. Don't. Now, discern things, no doubt. Discernment is different. You say, okay, this is what. But don't become negative. They are the movings of God. There was a guy I had to tell. I said, you have spoken. He was now craving for the move of the Holy Ghost. I said, I'm sure in time past, you had derided them. He said, it's true. I said, emoji, you have to fast more. You have to suffer for it. You are spoken down on it. It will have changed a lot of things for you. You can't even be training ministers of the gospel and speak down the move of the Spirit. That's plus 4 minus 1 million. No, you can't. So, let's learn to place value on what God places value on. Should I now tell you something that is important? Do you know that God's greatest mentors are human beings? This Bible, please show me which one God wrote. He only said he spoke. No, he spoke. Alright? But some people wrote it that he spoke. And you took everything as his word. Why is God's story in the Bible is tied to man's story? Man is God's method. Man is God's method. That's why I tell people that when they preach that rapture theory, I tell them, number one thing about that theory, why it doesn't make sense, it doesn't involve man. It doesn't involve man. Everything God has ever done has to do with man. The very first time the earth was going to, you know, be destroyed was Genesis 6. What was at the center of it? Noah. When he said he wasn't going to do it again, who was at the center? Noah. Where did he get your theory from? Man is just absent. He's either he's removed from the earth, disappears, then he appears. Bro, leave that. That's not biblical theology. God will use men. He will always use men. He brought John the Baptist ahead of Jesus to introduce him. Who ordained Jesus? John. Who announced that he rose from the dead? Men. Who told men he's alive? Men. You see, an angel appeared to Cornelius and told him, go and call men. Jesus appeared to Ananias. Why? He had appeared to Paul. Why didn't he do what he would do with Paul? He sent a man to him. Acts 13. When Paul and Barnabas were going to start out, he sent men to lay hands on them. We must learn to receive the ministry of men. Laying on of hands is such a thing. Do you know that what happened in Acts 2 happened in Acts 8 and Acts 9 and Acts 10? Every time that people now received the Holy Ghost, it was through the agency of men. After Acts 2, Acts 9, Ananias, Acts 10, Peter, Acts 8, Peter and John, Acts 19, Paul in Ephesus. We must learn to receive the method that God uses. Now, I'm not asking us to worship human beings and all that. That's even ridiculous. But you see, we must put value on people. Put value on people. And when we are doing that, we will avoid things like strife, bitterness. I tell people this. You may desire something from God. You won't know how he's going to get it across to you. And you can't choose who and whom God will use. You can't do it. No, you can't. You can't. And may we not be those folks who will be looking for something that is just right there. When you are bitter, angry, you won't see what God is doing. You won't just see it. You won't see it. It blinds people. You won't see what he's doing. But we're not like that. God's Spirit is moving in this church. And we're seeing it. And we receive one another. Just like we'll do this evening. We'll receive one another in our offices. Our offices as men and women who have the Holy Ghost on them. Folks who prophesy here. Folks who give words of knowledge and words of wisdom. Folks who see things for others. Folks who have the sick healed by their ministries here. Because it's abundant in this place. Times of refreshing are upon us. And upon all the groups of this church. And I see that. The groups. In the small groups. Now, small group doesn't mean they are small. It's in relative to the church. You know, I tell younger ministers, sometimes they are talking to me, they say, hey, I pastor a small church. I say, if you say that again, I won't talk to you again. Just say, I pastor a growing church. Don't use your mouth to say nonsense. That was how I used to say it as a younger preacher. I say, and now I'm not called to pastor. I thought it was humility. Do you know that every church I pastored was closing down? I say, I'm not called to pastor. I'm not, until I changed it. I say, I'm called to pastor. Then Saints Community Church came. No, it's not humility. I'm not called to pastor. I'm not called to those who are called to pastor will take the flock away. It's your mouth that you're using. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is on you. So tonight, you are going to minister in that your office. of the flow of the Holy Ghost. The Ananias is here.
Oh, yes.
Oh, not the husband of Sapphira. The right one. Who will see visions and minister to Saul? There are people here. So tonight, before we come for tonight's session, take an hour. Just pray in tongues and set yourself in the right place for tonight's meeting. Times of refreshing is not just when I speak, it's also when he speaks. Is also when she speaks. Is when she speaks. And when he ministers. We'll step into wider terrains of the things of the Spirit. We'll have experiences tonight we've never had before.
Yes.
It will trigger things for the future.
Yes. Yes.
And bring us into a different chapter in God's purpose and plans for our lives. It's coming to pass. So I was talking about the smaller groups in church. You see, from those smaller groups, Pastor, will be revivals in the places where they are. The smaller groups, you probably in your heart thought about, you know, should we do this, should we do it? Well, do it. And those smaller groups will influence communities where they are. And this is it. In the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the move of the Spirit, will those things be accomplished? I won't tell you much of what I can see, but I'll tell you privately. But we need to guard what we have here. I'll tell you privately. We need to guard what we have. Somebody had noticed this. You know, Paul said to Timothy, he said, the things kept by the Holy Ghost, guard it. You need to guard what you have. Guard what you have very well. Guard it. You see, if you have, you know, I talked about that fellowship where I took a friend to, you know, and I knew what was going to happen. That's what it means, guard it. Don't allow strife, criticisms to take it away from you. Guard it. Guard your relationships. You see, we are all deficient by default. Insufficient by default. We are only sufficient by association. That's how we are. It's as simple, this is how I try to explain it. Do you know it is very possible for God to just make one kind of man? And that kind of man, no, let me say it again. God can make humanity just at once. Let's assume that all that have come to the earth so far has been, let's say, 50 billion. He could have just said, mankind appear. And all of us, as grown-up adults, will appear. But how come he didn't do that? We came in at different times. Through different persons. He could have also been just one parent who would be, you know, but he split humanity into two. Why is he doing that? Because he's big on relationships. You need what you need, he puts in somebody else. What you need, he will put in someone else. So for the woman, she will have to, I don't want to, maybe fall in love. The man will fall, they'll be in a relationship. Not to get married, then have another person. So he split it. And that is how God's plan is. What he wants you to have, he gives to somebody else. He will want you to be in relationship with that person so that you will take what is your own. So you must learn to nurture relationships and guard them well. And what a relationship we have in the local church, guard it. God's plan is enhanced through well-nurtured supernatural relationships. I've never been to Scotland before. Why did I come? Because of a relationship. And I can say that about many other places. That's how God works. God will have something for me, he'll give it to him. I'll need to know him. God will have something for you, he'll give it to him. You need to meet. God made us. There's nobody God made independent. Nobody. He made us all sufficient by association. By default, we are insufficient. Jesus needed a woman to come to the earth. As though God needed anything. He didn't show up. Oh, I'm the Savior, I'm here. A relationship was nurtured. Same as the apostles. Everybody. So learn to guard what you have. I will have said it this way, but now I will. Learn to guard who you have. Did you hear that? Guard who you have. Guard your friends. You know, where in the social media world now, everybody can, you know, there are some people that remain sacred to you. There was one guy, I like him. He's very studious. So he wrote something about Kenneth Hagin. I didn't even finish it. I said, okay. So I told him, I said, sorry, I'm going to block you. I told him. He said, why? He said, you don't like Hagin. I like you. But you see, my liking for you is secondary. Kenneth Hagin was used by God to save my life and ministry. He hasn't used you yet. And I'm not sure he's going to. So we cannot be friends. He said, but this is human worship. I said, I don't mind. So I blocked him. He's a good guy. But you see, I know what happened to me years ago. I almost lost it. So I won't allow you to bring that thing back to me. I have saved my life. That's why I'm here today. Learn to guard. Guard things. Some people may not appear. They may not look at what you look the way you look at the way you look at it. Doesn't matter. But you guard what you have. Guard your friends. Guard your relationships. You see how God orchestrated the way you met people. You saw it was the hand of God. You could see it. And now it's now rest. It's not God that will do it for you. You are now the one that will do it by yourself. You do it by yourself. God brings you together, you are married. And you have to keep your marriage yourself. God brought you friends. You have to keep those friends by yourself. And those friends can annoy you. Because you annoy them too. You guard the people you have. Guard it in prayer. I met some minister. So he told me, that was 2016. He said they had been together in ministry, a group of 50 people, for 60 years. No matter what you are doing, listen to that kind of person. I said, how did you do it? The first thing he told me, he said, we pray for one another every day. The second thing he said, there are three things he said that I ruminate over it all the time. He said the way we were when we met in 1956, whoever was leader then is still the leader now. Whoever was his deputy is still the deputy. We didn't change anything. Emoji, that's difficult to be. We are always trying to compete. He said no. He said whoever was in charge of this then, whoever was is still the same person now. Let's learn to guard what we have. Tonight we'll have the flow of the Spirit of God flowing amongst us. My job will just be to coordinate you. And we're going to have the Spirit of God, you know, walk in a different way as we minister to one another. Say tonight, I minister the things of the Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. Tonight, I minister the things of the Spirit.
I minister the things of the Spirit. Let's pray in other tongues again. I minister the things of the Spirit. I'm a blessing to the church. I'm a blessing to the body of Christ. I'm a blessing to the church. This evening, my hands minister the things of God.